Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday, 13th of June. Things going green in a week. And we're here to talk this morning with Dr. Bob Lombardi. He'll be coming up in a little while on the program. But first, we have to thank our financial benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. New location along the St. Clair Port Carbon Highway with great drive-up services for you there. Voted the number one lending institution for the past 6 years in Schuylkill County. Why is that? Because you won't find a better
fiduciary
relationship anywhere. We also got to thank BG's Value Markets, 4 convenient locations to serve you in Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, and Minersville. As the good doctor would say, aisles upon aisles of savings and the freshest meat for the hot irons of your grill. That's right, if their meat was any fresher,
you'd have to slap it.
Now I can't talk about this next sponsor with enough vim, vigor, and zest, because the bouquet of flavor that comes from the raspberry iced tea, the newest addition to the Gears Dairy product line. My, oh my, I had the sample. I was trying to hold out for the diet decaf version, but I could not. And the notes of raspberry are out of the park. Good.
Wow.
John, I'm telling you.
You're floating.
What a refreshing drink that was. Oh, yeah.
And that's quite a
thing. Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life?
That's 2 weeks in a row. I wasn't paying attention to the new system here.
You were floating in a Gears Wonderland.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's pretty,
Jazz in Wonderland.
Pretty incredible. That's for sure. Pretty incredible, that new raspberry iced tea. Of course, Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along Tumbling Run Road here in Pottsville.
Picked up lemonade yesterday.
Well, hey, something's not right there, John. Maybe that's it. Talk to me now.
There we go. Picked up lemonade yesterday.
Did you?
You're not the first guy to mute me.
I can't hang up on you, so I guess we're okay.
Yeah. That happened a few times.
So how's it going, Mr. Powers?
Great to be back. You know, I don't sit around and moan about things that have happened, but raring to go. Mm-hmm. Raring to go. We're heading back towards the football and basketball seasons, and that's where you and I do so much of our traveling together and being around those great teams from all around the area. That's the part I miss the most, just being around people from those great places.
And I guess it was a sense of falsehood you built up in me when you said we get to do a great deal of traveling. I figured you were going to say you miss me.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Okay, every day has a disappointment during this play, buddy. Every day. You just have to roll with it, you know? I don't know. I don't have a lot of those moments.
You know, and it's interesting, John. I've had the opportunity to see some of the plans put together by school districts and some of the things that, you know, they're going to have to put into place. I don't know mandate. I mean, it should be mandates. But, the charting of every athlete, the date, the temperature, these certain questions they have to answer to you and has to be documented and stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty rigorous, all the things put into place. And, it's all to make sure that we can keep these things going.
There's no question. And do it. Last time we talked to Dr. Lombardi, we talked about the health and safety of not only all the athletes, but everybody who participates. I mean, we could go down to trainers. We could go down to the kids that are 5, 6 years old who run around the sidelines, running the balls in and out, the grandparents and so on that go to games. This is it's a big deal. I know that some people have talked about, you know, back in 1918 when they had the pandemic and then they got through it. Yes, they did. Well, I think what's complicated the world is social media, because now in 1918, you couldn't go to Facebook or Twitter and find 500 different people who had 500 different views about what to do, and not one of them had a medical degree. and they're out there, well, and, you know, that's complicated.
Let's not just say social media. We also didn't have television news in the television news cycle today.
Not like now.
Where they contradict themselves every 15 minutes, irregardless of what variety of that you're watching.
Yeah, and sometimes every 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes. And unfortunately, there's too many outlets now, and many of them are not bound by the rules that used to apply to, and we'll use the term loosely, journalism. They're not bound by some of those rules because they do not call themselves a news station or, you know, it's opinion or whatever. That complicates matter. That complicates. I keep saying the best thing that education can do now is to have another course taught on, and everybody did this, how do you distinguish fact from fiction? Now it's going to be fact from fiction and social media. You're going to have to draw a line and say you really have to read into things beyond the splurge, or what do they call it, a meme or a gif.
This sounds like something best served for Monday through Friday. Let's move on about sports.
Well, they're not going to have me back there.
Let's move on about sports. Anyhow, you know, we have Dr. Lombardi coming up to talk about the state moving forward with high school athletics, some of the professional organizations moving back into full swing. I mean, basketball, hockey were able to figure it out. They're on their path back to, well, for basketball, the destination is Orlando. Hockey is working back to figure out the playoffs. But Major League Baseball has been a mess, hasn't it?
I just looked again at today's article. Players would receive 80% of their pro-rated salaries in a 72-game season. There's an argument about how many games. If they're prorated, what percent of the prorated salary they would get. And it looks like they're digging their heels in. I mean, the commissioner has said this is our final proposal for a 72-game season. I've heard from 50 games up to 89 games, but it still comes down to the coin. It seems the players are digging their heels in. We have signed contracts. We're willing to work with you, but not beyond a certain point. Very difficult. After reading this morning, to me, it sounds like some things are in concrete. It's going to get tough to get past it, which could mean no baseball. It looks like, as you said, NBA, NHL seem to have come to a pretty good compromise. I don't see that with the baseball ones.
I agree. You know, when you take a look, NASCAR is bringing fans back this weekend.
Yes.
1,000 in a couple hundred thousand venue, but they're invited guests of the city of Miami, who owns the Speedway. So it's like first responders, military,
okay,
those types who were given special invitation from the city of Miami to come and participate and watch the race. When they go to Talladega, that thing holds almost 100,000 people. They're going to fill it with 5,000 people, first come, first serve. Buy your tickets. They're at a reduced cost, and they will socially distance you based on where the seats are all going to be assigned. So fans are starting to come back there. NASCAR seems to have been able to figure this out, of course, because it's not, it's team-oriented, but they can get away with doing what they're doing. And on television, it still plays well for the fans.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when you look at baseball, if they should not return, John, I think it may be the beginning of the end for Major League Baseball.
You know, Chaz, you look, and when you look down the line, we're talking a lot of bucks here. We're not talking simplicity here. You talk about Mike Trout and those guys being guaranteed about $20 million to play. And let's say it was 50 games. Well, the other guy is Cole. Is he a pitcher? The other high? Okay, so if you're talking $20 million and they play 50 games, and let's say he pitches in every fourth game, $20 million for 12 games. That's a lot of coin. And they don't know about the revenue sources. I mean, the TV is what keeps all major sports going anymore. It's nice to have people in the stands, concession stands and so on. But that TV contract, just for the postseason, I read this morning, the baseball, $787 million for postseason. They're edging up on $1 billion just to put those on the air. I don't know how they get past that, Chaz, or else you may see what people have been screaming about a long time, paying $36 million a year for somebody to play. That whole thing could change dramatically and bring it down to, okay, maybe $10 million, you know, and the other players much less. I don't know, but baseball seems to have a much bigger problem than the other two sports.
Well, there's no real salary cap. It's the luxury tax. You know, the way that the contracts are structured for baseball is much different than any other professional sport.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you take a look at how they're structured and how that all works, well, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Because, you know, although I enjoy watching baseball, at what price, I guess, is what I could say.
That's correct. And you're going to have a lot of owners, and let's talk about owners. They're being castigated at every moment. They put up the bucks. They're the ones who, in a capitalistic system, have taken a chance. They get a ball club, and they maybe a couple owners or a group. They're looking at bottom line too. For some of them, not all, it's their livelihood also, and they're saying, "My goodness, we simply can't afford this. You're going to bleed us dry because we're not going to have the same kind of revenues." How far does that go? And as you just said, baseball could, for a year or two, disappear until they get this thing straightened out. Where the others, because of the difference in contracts, I think they're going to get through it.
Should baseball disappear for a year or two, how do you think coming back is going to be?
Worse.
I think they're lining up to really put themselves right out of whatever. The only baseball you're going to see is local stuff and beer leagues, for lack of a better term.
Which, honestly, when you think about it, probably is a step forward in every sense of the word. Not that I used to go to the beer league games just to watch. But when you look at it, will it survive? Will people find other things to do? Well, people say, you know what, I'm sick of it. Because I have friends who said a couple of years ago, my God almighty, somebody's getting $36 million a year and they're pitching 30 games, for goodness sake. They get tired of it. The bickering, jumping team to team to team, they got tired of it. And they got involved in other sports. Now, I never got into the NASCAR thing. But that really has dominated the scene since this thing started, because they found a way. But, and you mentioned it, they don't have the same kind of intricacies as they do, let's say, in football or hockey, where you're constantly in contact with someone. You're constantly, you know, you're pretty much in your vehicle, and unless there's some wacky kind of wreck that somebody thinks they did on purpose, there's not a lot of interplay physically. Man, when you look at football and hockey, and how you get away from it. When we talked to Dr. Lombardi, I've read some of the regs. It's very interesting as to how, especially high school football, is going to be able to do this.
It's going to be very interesting. You know, and the bigger part is, you know, and I haven't heard it from many coaches about, you know, they like to be together doing some kind of, I don't know if you would say organized, but some kind of work together through all this time right now. You know, you had the spring where they incorporated a week of spring workout into the mix. But I haven't really heard too many coaches griping about having to miss it. I think they all kind of understand the situation we're in. They don't want to get into a deeper situation with their kids and that kind of stuff. But as we now allow it, you know, they're going to have to find major ways to change things. Like, you know, you're going to have to split practice time up. You're going to have to bring certain groups in at certain times. You know, some schools are saying, well, maybe we can't use our weight room because of the confines of what it is. So we're going to have to find other ways to physically train and do things like that. You know, I think their level of creativity will be at an all-time high.
Absolutely. Even such things, Chaz, as team meetings. Team meetings. You know, you go to the little theater, you go here, you go there, and if you have 50, 60 kids that are on a squad, now you got to come up with another clever plan. And the tough part is everybody hates one word. The word they hate is mandate. It's a mandate. You must. So they're clever in it when they talk about, here are our suggestions. We suggest strongly that you do these things. And I'm going to dead out ask Dr. Lombardi, how far does the PIAA go then in overseeing this? When you get someone who might, and I'm going to use the same phrase with him, a wink and a nod that, yeah, we're doing that. A wink and a nod. Will we leave it up to the individual teams and coaches, or let's say a committee from the school district, a county committee, a league committee? I mean, there has to be some oversight. In my career, Chaz, there were football programs at one time who only went along with the wink and a nod with PIAA rules, but they kind of, a lot of people ignored it because they were winning state and national championships. Let's be honest here. There has to be some mechanism so you don't have somebody getting a big jump on everybody else by simply not following the rules, but claiming they are, finding loopholes. That's a tough thing.
I think, John, when it all shakes out and everything comes together, I think at the end of the day you're going, because I don't know necessarily that at the PIAA level there's enough of a staff to be that oversight for each program.
Not.
So it'll be interesting to see how the response to that, but I got to believe that it's going to come down to
individual integrity, local decision. Yeah,
and
individual integrity.
You know, and the hopes, no different than you know, when this started. I remember Dr. Lombardi telling us, the schools are going to have to police their own programs, and we hope that they don't take it lightly. And I believe there were schools that took it lightly, and he slapped him.
Stepped in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it, I don't think you're going to have some giant committee, but I think you're going to have, let's call it an enforcement panel, that when it gets to them, they're going to have to look into an individual school district and say, all right, we want to see your plan. Again, I know what you submitted, but we're going to have to go through a checklist to make sure you have done all these things, because they talk about like 2 weeks without padding and helmets, and you have to bring your own water now. You can't be sharing things there. Temperature checks and so on. Those are very serious things. And you hope they don't start skimping, because if somebody does get ill in that group, when you start talking about contacting everybody who was in contact with them, that could shut a program down for 2-3 weeks.
And that may be the monitoring checklist all in of itself.
Yeah, that's
you'll
the
know
frightening
when,
part.
You'll know if somebody wasn't doing exactly following what the guidelines are. You'll
and,
know
and
it.
And Chaz, you and I, we talked about this before, but you and I experienced that during the basketball playoffs when we had people talking about, well, we're antsy about bringing certain teams here because their area already had been going through some of the coronavirus problems. So schools are saying, nah, we're not opening up our venue for a playoff game. And that kind of caught fire, and that, boom, put the end to everything. And again, if one school decides to find a way around stuff and they come to your stadium or your arena, the infection could be incredible. So really putting a lot of pressure on coaches and local school districts to make sure they have a plan and that everybody follows it.
Indeed. And, you know, therein lies a bigger question, I guess you could say. And, you know, even the way we're going to operate will be a little bit different.
Well, you had mentioned this to me. I was fascinated when we talked about the possibility of what would happen if and when, let's say, high school football begins. And I think you should share that with some people, because I was like, whoa.
What do you mean?
Well, the idea, it could be you and me, buddy. And other people.
Yeah, I mean, there's different tiers of individuals who will be allowed in places depending on, I'm not sure if it's the color code, and this is a question Dr. Lombardi will probably expand on. When you take a look at, you know, who's going to be allowed in, tier one, of course, players, coaches, administrators, stuff like that. And, then tier two was the media, and tier three, of course, was spectators. And tier one and two seem to be allowed to go should the season get underway, or when the season gets underway. That they're like pretty much automatic from the jump. With the color phase of wherever these things are. We could be sitting in a stadium by ourselves, calling the game on the radio. And some places you and I can be farther apart than others. We'll figure that out as we go. I'm talking from right down to you talking to coaches before a game, and the way we do that, that all may have to change. We'll have to wait and see how that all works out, because the device that you use, there's no way we can work that on a 6-foot pole or whatever we need to do. In order to take care of and the quality of that without maybe doing some other things. So I'm trying to wrap my head around how you and I are going to transact business with the coaches and the players and those kind of things with Larry, and, how we operate and how the content in our broadcast. So,
And it can be, I look at it also from the other. It'll be a line for so many other people that didn't have to go to the radio before to be able to keep up with their team and so on. And that is important to a lot of people out there to hear about how their kids are doing. I did see an article this morning where Teener League is looking now. So Legion age kids and teenage kids, Teener League, they're trying to find ways to get this started. And we'll see. But when you look down some of the regs or suggestions, there's a lot of things in there that they're going to really have to fine tune when the time comes, including who comes in the stadium when that time comes. If it'll be a mandate, let's say, and let's just come up with, let's say they mandated you had to have a mask on to come in. That's going to cause some consternation at the ticket booth at times. So it's going to be tough to get everybody on the same page.
Indeed. And the doctor is, of course, off today, but still chock full of information. The University of Houston is suspending all voluntary workouts after 6 student-athletes tested positive for COVID-19. According to school officials, all students were showing symptoms and have since been placed in isolation. Contact tracing procedures have also been initiated. They're, of course, going to, during this pause, continue stringent cleaning and sanitation protocols. The university recently began allowing voluntary workouts for its football and basketball teams, and it's unclear if any of the coaches were affected by this whole thing. So, obviously, I'm not sure what protocols the University of Houston had in place coming into camp. I know Penn State, James Franklin sent a letter to his players mandating 10-day quarantine, self-quarantine before they returned to the university. Yes. When they got to the university, they were immediately tested and, the whole thing gone through rigorous protocols. And again, after that, were placed in 7-day quarantine there before they were allowed to do any meetings, any practice, any workouts, anything. So I'm not sure what Houston did leading up to it. I know that Penn State put all of those steps in place prior to the return. Did kids follow it, didn't they? I mean, it was up to their individual accountability. You know what I mean?
That's a tough part. My Alabama school had 5 kids that tested positive. Then they had to try to decide, as you just said, did they do what they had to do before they got there? Did they bring it with them? Did they get it there? Because sometimes the symptoms don't show up for a couple of days, and to be able to trace that back. But all schools, I don't care what division they are, going to have to come up with protocols for even kids returning. And as you just said, maybe when they return, kids were talking 7 days, you're quarantined, or 14, whatever it would take. That's very complicated.
Indeed, and it's going to be very interesting to see where things go. I mean, people have been separated for so long. Who's to know what's going to work and what's going to happen here? And I guess it's kind of wait and see, you know?
Sure. And what happens, Chaz, when you get a league and a school says, I think Michigan has already made this very clear, no school, no football. No football. Now, they're a league member. The SEC, on the other hand, is pretty much gung-ho. We're going. They're going to play. Now, the question comes down to if an SEC school is playing Big Ten school, mm-hmm. will it affect those schedules? Will they stand by it?
Penn State has San Jose State on the schedule.
Example.
San Jose State has said we're not returning in the fall. What's going to happen? You're right. It's a wait and see.
Well, okay. And again, at that level, can you pick up a game with teams that are still playing? Who maybe have an open date? I know in high school sometimes you get open dates or something happened and all of a sudden you have another game. I don't know on the college level if they're prepared to do that.
Well, I guess we'll wait and see how normalcy returns, I guess, John. But we've got to talk with Dr. Lombardi, the executive director of the PIAA. He'll be on around the corner here on Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, worldwide at WPPARadio.com. And don't forget, if you miss the show or you say, hey, you should have heard those two guys on Saturday morning, there's a way to do it. It's at anchor.fm, Apple, Google, Spotify, and other major podcast outlets that you have access to. You can catch it all there. Back with Dr. Lombardi right after this on WPPA Sports Saturday.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road is the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy. Gears prides themselves on their high standards and offers quality produced milk products as well as orange juice, fruit drinks, and their very own popular iced tea. Make Gears a name you invite into your home every day. Look for Gears products in your favorite supermarket or convenience store. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy, always committed to excellence.
CBS News is now available on WPPARadio.com. CBS News Radio is your home for breaking news. It's coverage you can trust, and now you can get it on demand on the WPPA website. Just go to WPPARadio.com and click on the CBS News player. You'll be able to instantly hear the full newscast. It's updated every hour, 24/7, 365, so you'll always get the latest stories and know what's going on in your world. Check it out now and whenever you want the latest news. That's the CBS News player on WPPARadio.com.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday as we get set to talk to the executive director of the PIAA, good friend of the program and a stand-up man all around, Dr. Bob Lombardi. And Doc, I guess this whole procedure has been quite the whirlwind for the PIAA.
Yeah, that's an understatement, but it's been certainly interesting the last few weeks. That's all I could say. But you know what? We're in a better place today. Wednesday was a good day for schools and students, and we're really happy about that. Really happy about that.
Well, Doctor, I mentioned that to you when this whole thing started, and we had the opportunity to talk to you. You guys did it right. Now, I will say this, because everything's a learning curve. I can't wait till your book comes out, Pandemic Pandemic 101, which will be a primer that you guys had to put together on the run. There wasn't a book to go to. And at some point during this, I'd like you to just talk about going back retrospectively, looking and saying, if something like this happens again, what did we do right immediately, and what could we have done better immediately? Because your experience, not only yours, but every state, but especially in Pennsylvania, your experience in how you handle it will honestly become a handbook for other people that they can look back on, and that's a tribute to the work you've done.
Well, you're kind. But there's probably been a lot of missteps along the way. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the highlights that we did get right was we got in front of it. We beat the government to take a pause, which ended up being probably a roadmap for them. The other piece of it is I think what we did better than many areas, we didn't panic. And we used patience. The patience made people crazy. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about? We're still getting the what ifs. But I think having patience allowed us not to make knee-jerk reactions and mistakes that would have caused bigger problems. And I think we're in a better place today because all of us and all the schools ought to be complimented, their ADs and principals, because this has been a tough road. I don't know of any students in the last, I don't know, people tell me it's the flu of 1918. So it may not have lived out, been before you guys, but it was before me.
Oh, okay. All right. The gloves are off.
But, you know, they've told me that that's the last time we've missed events like that. And, you know, to shut down the spring and kids missing their last semester and last season in the spring and then the end-of-year activities and the proms and the athletic award nights and graduation and everything. And I know schools have done a great creative job with that. But you know what? It's still difficult. So, but thank you.
You know, Doc, I've been following along, and it was interesting. Somebody asked you, like, these what-if scenarios. You know, oh, are we going to put the spring sports? Ohio was looking at doing this. And you vehemently said, why should those kids miss two consecutive seasons? Which I thought was a great approach to it that I don't think a lot of people took into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, that's why those what-ifs are difficult. And we're going to try to stay the course. Now, I hear a lot of other people are doing some other things. They're going to a truncated seasons where they might play each season in 6, 7, 8, 10-week intervals. Boy, I'm hopeful that we don't have to get to that. But if we do, as Bob Hartman, District 11 chairman, said, if the model is 3 games here, 4 games there, 6 games somewhere else, at least people are being able to play and get games, and we'll go from there. But right now, I think we're still 2 months in front of the start of fall sports. So you see how quick it's changed in the last 10 days? last week.
Absolutely.
And I think it's going to change quickly again because there's a lot of counties that are yellow that may be going green. And if that comes, that's quicker than we've seen. So stay tuned, right?
Dr. Lombardi, I talk to people in the educational field all the time, friends of mine that are teachers. And, you know, I sat with a principal the other night, and he had an interesting observation because of all these rules. I said, what do you think the toughest thing is going to be for you? He didn't even blink. He said, getting the kids to school on buses. If there has to be some social distancing, it's a very big school district. He said, we're trying to come up with a plan. How do you get all the kids to school? And that could also refer to sports, getting football teams, cheerleaders, the band, and so on, to and from sporting events has to come in to part of the equation at some point. And how do you do that?
I think he's clairvoyant. I echo his remarks, and I absolutely believe right now the number one thing that people are trying to sort out is busing. Because okay. If you have to have social distancing on busing, I don't think there's enough buses in the country just to handle the state of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Never mind the other 50, you know, all the 50 states. But I agree with him. It's going to be a challenge for athletics. Obviously, some sports lend itself to a little different type of path. You know, you got golf and tennis they can do some different things with. But I think we're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to think outside the box, hopefully. Every Wednesday, I've been speaking with seven other states that are in our section, Section 2 of NFHS. We're the eighth state. And that was brought up in Kentucky, and somebody said they're going to try to come up with a creative solution with masks and some sanitization to try to be able to utilize busing in a different pattern. Because right now, I agree with them. That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for athletics, and maybe we have to go to a different way to get people in and out of games.
You know, Doc, that's part and parcel to it. I saw some of the guidance on how people could attend games, and I saw, you know, at the school district that I'm involved with, I saw their COVID-19 plan for the resocialization of sports to return. You know, right now, you know, I know it's based on the phase color of the county, but how is that going to work? Is that going to be something that's going to be left to the local decision when and if or how many fans? Or is that something where the PIAA is going to say this is where it's at right now?
Well, right now in the green phase, it's 250 or 50% of a facility. But that's today in June. I think you're going to see that possibly change, and that'll have to come out of the government, because I think what they wrote here originally has collegiate sports in it as well as professional. Well, that isn't going to fly, I don't believe. So to take a shot at that right now, I don't know. I think it's a little premature. Like I said, we're just happy to get kids back voluntarily working out on their campus, where they're many times the school or the weight room or the track or the gym is the center of the community activities, because there isn't another one around. So to get them back being active, doing what they like to do best, and keeping them safe is the first step. And then as we go down the road about fans, I think we can work that out as we come.
Yeah, and a big burden, Doctor, honestly, I was in coaching many years ago and got smart enough and got out of it and started working for a radio station. But there's an enormous amount of pressure that will fall on coaching staffs, because looking through some of the things from the PIAA, I played for a couple spitters in my life who got in your face and were giving it to you, and you had spittle all over your eyebrows, and they were barking at you and throwing you around. Those things can't happen anymore. Even the idea of chewing gum, sunflower seeds, they're going to be called to do so many things that as a coach, was the last thing on their mind. It was always to a trainer or somebody, take care of that. Now a coach is really going to have the responsibility of setting the standard for everything rather than, again, just the teaching of the sport and wins and losses. I don't envy a lot of coaches getting into this phase of this.
No, and you're right. And that stuff that has come out from the governor's office and the Department of Ed, you know, mention those things because that's what it came down from. It started at the CDC, and then the NFHS picked up on it. And then, you know, we also have the UPMC playbook, and they're all talking about that. But that's all about transmission. They're trying to limit transmission. Mm-hmm. And it sure makes sense. But I think what you're going to see is a preemptive strike in athletic programs with their leadership of their athletic department getting their coaches together and say, hey, look, here's the parameters. Now we got to work within these. And you know how some people are. They'll go, oh, I don't know. Well here's the issue. Do you want to go back to March 13th? And for 3 months we had zip? Because that's what we're going to have if they don't adhere to proper sanitization and pre-screening techniques. And I don't think anybody wants that. No, and I think all our coaches and everybody will adhere to good, proper hygiene and health care.
Yeah, and doctor, not just talking about this situation, but in my long time around sports, previous to 1918, thank you for bringing that out, but in my previous experience with sports, and I'm just being blunt, doctor, there were a lot of coaches, a lot of schools, some programs that did the wink and the nod about practices, when you could practice, and sometimes it was a wink and a nod, other times it was blatant, like, yeah, tough beans, what are they going to do? And that sometimes worries me that if there isn't some kind of enforcement at the local level, the school being pretty strict on it, they could end up putting other kids at risk because of that. And that does worry me a little bit.
Yeah, I think the danger, the difference is this. Like you said, what was the penalty? Mm-hmm. Well, the penalty now isn't so much a penalty on the coach immediately. The penalty is bigger. You could shut down your program. You could shut down the school. You could shut down the county because of a spreading of a virus that the unknown, nobody knows how to contain it. They don't know how to have a vaccine for it, those type of things. And until those things come, the potential to lose that is so great, I wouldn't think any of our people would put themselves anywhere near harm's way because of the end game there. So that wink and a nod might go a long way years ago, but I think right now it's too serious to try to take that chance.
Well, I certainly hope
people,
you're right.
I think we'll toe the line. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I absolutely hope you're correct there. Another thing that's going to come into play here, doctor, when I read what they're going to have to do. Many schools, their sports programs are hanging by a thread now as far as money is concerned. I know locally here, the local football program used to fund every program in the building, every sports program. Those days are gone. And the added costs that will fall on school districts to do this sanitation and getting ready after every practice, after every game, after every bus trip, prior to and after, it could cause some consternation with school districts that are already in budgetary problems.
Yeah, we recognize that because we're going to have the same issues. Our expenses are going to absolutely rise, but what's the downside is if you don't do it,
absolutely,
you could be out of business. You don't have to worry about trying to float through business. So that's the issue here. This is, it's not something that you can try to skirt around because God forbid anybody has a breakout of it, they're going to be closed, and the Department of Health is going to come in, and they're going to put them through some marching orders that will probably be pretty stringent, because you know we're not playing around here with the common cold. This is something that no one has able to get their arms around yet.
Yeah, and so, when I look, doctor, and I go, the fear when I talk to some people because of budgetary and the like, where some schools are cutting sports already, that you may have schools that say, we're just not going to have those programs anymore because it's too much of a burden. And that has people running around crazy with this thing. But you hit the nail, and we said this to you way back after March 13th when this shut down and you were gracious enough to be in the show with us. You have put the safety, welfare, health of not only our students involved in the game, but everybody involved in it, the school, the community, as number one priority. And that is the greatest banner you could have outside of the PIAA at this point. We kept people safe. We may have stumbled once or twice. We kept people safe. And I really congratulate you on that.
Well, thanks. I don't know what more to say. I hate to see people cut programs because what ends up happening is people force students to out of school programs. And I'm not a fan of out-of-school programs. I had been involved with them as a outlet teacher, coach, those type of things, even as a parent. But my trouble is all our coaches in our schools are certified. They have coaching education, they have first aid, they have concussion awareness, cardiac awareness, they have background clearances. They're who else do you want your student in front of than somebody that you have some recourse if they go off the reservation? People in outside school programs, you don't know who they are. And plus, they pay an arm and a leg to charge you to be part of it. So I salute our coaches, and I would like to make a plea to our schools to do whatever they could to keep our programs for the simple reason that an athletic program in a school district is hardly ever higher than 2% of the general operating budget. That's the last bargain in education, because that's about what it is athletically, and it's just not very high.
You know, Doc, I saw a couple weeks ago where, you know, the ejection rule has changed. You talked about education for coaches. Go ahead and get kicked out now, fellas and ladies, because you've got some education to be getting. But, you know, I think that was a positive step in the right direction to keep things cool.
Well, we've lost. It's hurting us attracting officials. But more importantly, if you guys saw the DQ report, and I know you guys have been around, and you've heard most everything. But to see some of the things people have said to officials, it's offensive. If they said that in the classroom, they'd be out of school for a week.
Yeah.
So we got to reel it back in. It's too much.
Now, how I guess to further on that, how important now? Because sometimes I think some officials allow coaches to go a little too far with it. You know, I don't know if it's because of the paperwork involved. I don't know if they just want to give a guy or a lady the opportunity to continue to be around their kids. But how now is the guidance going to be on the official to really crack down on it?
Well, we did it with the understanding is it came from the it was brought forward from some officials that, hey, we need your support. Well, the board heard them loud and clear and said, you got our support. Now you got to do your job. So, you know, you make a good point, because some people are afraid, well, it's two games. Now I better not throw somebody out. But, you know, on the same token, and you folks all know this, a penalty or a technical foul or some type in many of our sports, there's more than one, such as two direct tees in a basketball game. Maybe it'll get our officials to use the technical foul for what it's intended to. It's a tool to control the game. But people were always afraid to use the first one. Well, hell, now we've even changed it. They have a warning and then a technical foul. So they give them a second opportunity. In football, you get two unsportsmanlike flags you go. Well, the first one is a tool. Hey, coach. Hey, player. Pay attention. Enough is enough. So you can use it for what it's intended for without throwing people out of the game. But if you get to the second one or whatever the ejection would be, it could go without that if it's really foul or vulgar or violent or unsportsmanlike to the nth degree, then those people shouldn't be in the game. I mean, there has to be a code of conduct. We have it all throughout society. We need to have it in games.
Yeah, and I've seen that spill over, and I was I was no saint when I coached. I will say that there's some good stories floating around. My biggest concern, Doctor, and you said that you'd be shocked, is some of the personal stuff that is said. I mean, you could always, somebody would yell out at you, or I would yell out, oh my God, that stinks. You stink. You know, a very general. I have heard statements made from coaches to officials that would curl my hair on a personal level. And my belief is this. If you have a coach who's doing that during the course of a game, I got to believe he does it at practice, and that poisons the kids because they think it's all right because your venerable coach does it and sometimes gets away with it. So I think your idea of the warning, it's like hitting a mule with the 2x4 to get its attention, and then you tell it what to do, and they're pretty good at doing it. That's going to help. I believe it is. Some of the shows we've seen, Chaz and I even, over the last number of years, almost defy logic. They do. And if it filters over to the kids and they get out of control, Chaz will tell you, I used to say on the air, you want to see this settle down with the kids when they get out of control? If they call a technical on the kid, apply it to the coach also. Apply it to the coach. And pretty much you're saying, listen, buddy, you either teach your kids to behave or you're not going to be around for the next game either if it happens a second time. Now, that's pretty radical, but it would send a message.
Well, I think we have to get to that point. I think we've come up with a pretty good solution here. I think it's going to work.
Absolutely.
It's a little tough, but you're right. Teams take on the personality of their coaches, and they behave the way their coaches. If the coach is out of control, the team's out of control.
Yes.
So we're giving everybody the opportunity. We're going to educate them through the rules and TERP meetings and say, hey, folks, let's go here. Let's get on point. And we've been on shows like yours here to talk this out and get it up, you know, get it out in front of people, because I think it's important that we go back to highlighting what we're there for. We're there to watch players play a game, not to see antics on the sidelines.
Correct.
Doc,
one more question I have that I know is out there. A lot of people have asked us, with the return of football, and speaking of rule changes, and are there going to be, people have said, what are they going to make all the kids wear face masks? I hear that's coming. Maybe not a face mask, but a shield inside the helmet. How are the linemen going to touch each other? How is all that moving forward, or is that something that's down the road a little bit to see where things are at, or how's that working?
It's down the road a little bit. We haven't got that far yet. I know the shut football helmet provider has developed inside mask face shield to be worn. There is some concerns with it, but I know the National Federation said it would be legal for play. I know some people are already looking at it. I do think that we don't want to put the cart in front of the horse here. I think we need to slow down a little bit. So that decision will be down the road. No one's going to try to make decisions at the last minute to say, hey, folks, you got to go out and get all these. And then there's a rush to judgment. Mm-hmm. We're hopeful that we can do it in a systematic approach to give everybody a heads up, plus work through the information that we have from the health department and the governor's office to make sure that we're applying it evenly and fairly through the sports season.
Well, that's good stuff, Doc, and
awesome.
You know, it helps because, boy, oh boy, the questions that are coming our way are like, we have to wait and see. That's just the clear-cut answer is we've got to wait and see. I don't know.
Well, just like when we started in March, patience. Nobody has any patience here. Everybody wants to know what the Christmas present is in June. And heck, we didn't even go shopping yet. So a lot of this will be vetted out, and I'm just really happy that students can go back to being mm-hmm. students. And I think you know, your folks, the schools that are in your area, you know, it's community based.
Yes.
The school is the center of the community for a lot of things. You know, especially activity and the track being open and the community members being able to walk around the track. Now kids can go out and do some stuff and they can get some workouts in that are supervised, that are voluntary, and keep people safe, but still take care of their fitness because it's important. We got to get their health ready to get ready to go for the fall because we're starting to build the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want anybody to bend the rules and get ahead of themselves because if there's a setback, it's going to impact the fall start. So we're encouraging everybody. Play fair.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to having you back when things settle out, Doctor, because then we'll have some more fun conversations about charter schools. And boy, and it won't be so nice. But anyway, you thrill us. You thrill us by coming in here and sharing your knowledge and your dedication to the kids. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, but don't forget the competition formula has worked.
Okay, well, that's over a beer.
Save that for another time.
We'll have to have a beer over that one.
It's done exactly what we've hoped it to do. We identified some folks and moved them up, and it's working nicely. So it's not perfect, but it's better than what we had. So
good deal.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Doc, for joining us this morning here on WPPA Sports Saturday, and we'll talk to you down the road. There you have it, John. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in and out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction. Action.